Hallelujah. I love what Remy said. God is intentional about us. I saw somebody confused during the week about God not being partial. And I think the best of us is to understand that what he means by God not being partial. And it's also very important that when you look at the scriptures, Stephen was saying on Sunday, from Romans 54, he was talking about the fact that we learn the spirit behind these stories that we read. And we learn from the spirit behind it. The same way when we read the Bible, we have to be intentional about it and read to understand. If you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 34, verse 35, where it talks about God being not being partial. If you stop at God not being partial, then you will miss what he was talking about. If you read from the beginning of Acts chapter 10 and get to verse 34. Said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality in any nation. But in every nation, whoever fears me and works righteousness is accepted by him. Hallelujah. And oftentimes when we talk about God not being partial in this assembly, we also make it a point of view to let you know that you will do for A and for B the same thing under the same circumstances. Meaning that as long as you have that same platform of Christ, okay, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you are black, you are short, you are big, whatever, God is going to do the same thing. Amen. But when it comes to demarcating between his children and those that are not of his fold, God is very partial. Hallelujah. Amen. He will rather attend to you, he will attend to you first than to any other person who is not saved. Hallelujah. Amen. So please, always endeavor to start the scriptures, read to understand, read to get the context, read to get the spirit behind the context, and then and apply it so that you're not making any mistake. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise. Thank you for yet another opportunity to learn at your feet. Thank you for your word that comes to us. We receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, even as we go forth, thank you, Lord, because you expand your word to us. The things that we do not see, and the ones that you intend for us to get from your word, those things will come to us, even as we go deeper in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I'm not good at giving titles to these messages, but manage it. Beyond or behind the storm. Hallelujah. Just like that. Beyond or behind the storm. Amen. But as we speak, I believe the Holy Spirit will respond to us. I think the last time I was here also 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Jairus' daughter. We were looking at the punctuation that the woman released of blood. Because the intention was Jairus went to call the master. Then that incident of the woman with the issue of blood happened, and then we moved back to Jairus' story. And then the two guys don't forget this thing. Then it's gone. It's gone. Don't bother the master anymore. Amen. That's to be Mark chapter 5. Now this evening we look at Mark chapter 4, and we go back to the story of Christ in the boat at the M audition. Boat. I think this is passing. It was from verse 35. Well, that is 10. Okay, well, that is 10 of the boat. And then we go back to our story. It says from Mark chapter 4, from verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Hallelujah. And that's why our eyes will plug in. There is testimony about God being intentional. So it says, on the same day, when evening had come, so from the beginning of the day, I've been telling them from one parable to another, parable of disease and all that, and then it says, so they've been learning all day, and then at that point, everybody had been together and said, you know what, guys, let us go to the other side. And I know we've had so many things around the fact that let us go to the other side. Very intentional and it's very deliberate. Hallelujah. Then the Bible continues and says that from verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also with him. And a great wind storm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And he awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to him, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Amen. First, they were worried that there was a storm. There was a storm. The wind and the sea, there was a storm. And then, that's very bad. People on that ocean, that's why the wind and the sea. That time they had internet, we have cut off a view. So there was a storm, but he was there and he was sleeping. Now, the fact is, if you look at what were they going to do on the other side, have you ever asked yourself what were they supposed to go and do on the other side? Huh? Rest. Hallelujah. Amen. But, I mean, so he said, he just got up and said, let's go to the other side. And don't forget, it's intentional about everybody. Amen. In Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I want you to understand and take note of this, that it declares the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. So in this case, he said, let us go back to the other side. That's the end of the matter. We are going to the other side. Okay? And now if you look at the story of how Jesus started picking his disciples, in John chapter 1, there was one that really struck me. It was how Nathaniel was singled out. And in John chapter 1, Jesus spoke in verse 47. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Amen. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Yes. It was telling that you. He was so deliberate about the description that said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree. It was only Nathanael that can relate with it. Maybe Philip saw him after he had left it. But if, I mean, Nathaniel is the only one that knew that not the victory. Okay? And then Philip saw me. And then he started coming. Because he was saying, how did you know me? Now, Christ was telling him an attribute of him, that in him there is no deceit. And I kept wondering, that means that in that pack of 12 that Jesus had, he had the good, the bad. Blessings are said to him. They had the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, even before walking with Christ, it was definite that Nathaniel, in him, there was no deceit. Amen. And we know the story of Judas, that he knew that he was stealing, and he couldn't have started stealing when he joined Christ. And he's stealing was all around. Hallelujah. That's why I said he had a mix of all of them. And he was working with them. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's intentional. So, intentional in itself that he said, look, I've seen you on that field before he called him. So, he knew Nathaniel's path was on the way to him, even before Nathaniel knew where he was going. Amen. Hallelujah. I read Isaiah 46 because I wanted you to understand that he declares the end from the beginning. And I'm reading Nathaniel because he sees you, whatever situation you are. Okay? Because I've been in this condition for years. God is not, he has seen all those things and he sees them, okay? And then there's an appointed time. Hallelujah. Amen. There's an appointed time and there is an expected, behavioral pattern or an expected composure for you to work with him, even though you're waiting on him. Amen. Hallelujah. If you put down in Acts 10, verse 38, the Bible makes it clear that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. So, what it means to me, is that Christ never left home any day without doing anything good. Okay? And he knew also that it was his purpose and intention all the time. He left wherever he would call his home, or somebody would come and say, "Step Christ at the home now." So, wherever he called his home, or wherever he is there to sleep overnight, anytime he leaves it, his intention was to pick out somebody, hallelujah, that is going to do good to. And as many as will draw virtue out of him, amen. As many as will draw virtue out of him, he will release his power. Without him, his main intention being those people, just like we read for the one of these of God, it was just passing. Okay? But she had that faith enough. Say, if only, okay, she could be taught the faith. Hallelujah. And sometimes, because sometimes when things happen around us, or around me, I just smile. I see someone laboring to speak to me. Sometimes you see them that trying all his best to get my attention, to ask for something. You understand? And I laugh. Then if only this person knows, I just need to just say, please, just open your mouth and ask God. So sometimes I look at that, do you want to say something? Or do you want to ask for something? I'm like, no. And others will ask on it and ask the question. Before they ask, I'd already released that thing. So someone is coming to me and is coming to ask me something. I'm telling you now that I know that he's coming to ask me something. Before the person asks, I'd already released anything I want to give that person, I'd already released it in my mind. All that needs to happen is ready to ask. Amen. Hallelujah. And with that, deliberate about doing good. Okay? Because that's the same way Christ was, and as he is throughout his world. Hallelujah. We are not going to be looked like Christ in heaven, as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. So now he went about doing good. Said, let me read 38 in Acts 10, 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed. All who were oppressed by the devil, God was with him. All who were oppressed by the devil. Hallelujah. So his searchlight is on all those who are oppressed by the devil. Amen. Because God was with him. And that's what he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Amen. Hallelujah. So I go back to Mark chapter 4. And verse 11, let us cross over to the other side. And I kept wondering what happened, what why did they have to do on the other side? Yeah, let's go to Mark chapter 5. In verse 1. It says, after they had calmed the wind and the sea, okay? And everybody marveled at the fact that even the sea and the wind obeyed. And go to Mark chapter 5. And don't forget, Stephen had told us that the Bible was not written in chapters, it was just one long. So now he says, then he came to the other side of the sea. So it is easy for you to tie Mark 5 verse 1. It's easy for you to tie into Mark 4 verse 38. He said, let us cross over to the other side. Mark 5 verse 1 says, now he came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of tombs a man with a clean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could chains and be pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Then I could let him one thing in. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." But so you can tell from verses of yourself that is not the man that's talking. It's the spirit that is talking in that talking. And verse 6 says, "For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked, "What is your name?" And he said, and he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he should not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there down the mountain. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the head ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Okay, so when they go to the other side, okay, what the first lesson that they saw was the man with the unclean spirit. And that's the first thing that they addressed. And that's the only thing that they addressed. And when he finished addressing that case, he went back again. So Christ was intentional about that young man all the time that he was telling them that let us cross over to the other side. There was a mission. Hallelujah. And see, all the storm and everything was not because of the men that were in the boat or whatever, or the men that were in the boat with Christ. It was to deter him and to cause them to make a turn so that this boy or this man will not make his salvation. Hallelujah. When there are storms and when there are winds, whatever, or tsunami, be careful. It is not a sign to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. Because beyond the storm, then God is about to do something. Hallelujah. That no man can pass him. Amen. Not everybody. I mean, you're not talking. It's not like you said, "Man, let's go. Let's go to first half." You know, they will go to a bar one because they are used to it. Yeah, but let's go. But it's just, I mean, it's just that, and funny enough, none of them worried him. And they had little boats. They were going along. But no need to not report that those other little boats had any problem. The boat that he was in. Okay? Because the picture narrowed down to whoever is telling him, narrowed down to that boat that he was in. And the storm was raging. And everybody would have thought that this Christ is still confident, safe. And if we went to do not care that we perish. Hallelujah. And then he just went about it and said, you know, I mean, just I mean, just put them out of it, and then they were married. Now, let me continue this, because it's a long read. Then said in verse 15, "Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon possessed and about this one. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him or said to him, 'Go home to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and all about." Verse 21 says, "Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, he came multitude gathered to him, and he was by sea. And behold, then Jairus' story starts." Amen. Hallelujah. So, technically, let us go over to the other side. Was not only to set that man on the demons, it was to set that city of Decapolis. Amen. Acts 10, 34, 35. As long as, let's read it. Acts 10, 34, 35. We just read it. It says here, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and walks righteousness is accepted by him. Hallelujah. The one whom God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace to Jesus Christ, is God of all. That is what you know, which was proclaimed throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Amen. Hallelujah. The young man, the man that was demon possessed, when he wanted to follow Christ, you know what Christ told him? To follow. He said what? He said in verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him or said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed. And he began to proclaim the parables all that Jesus had done for him and all of it. Amen. Hallelujah. But I was wondering that by the time people were gathered, the one that was demon possessed was already very clean clothes. Amen. Right? He was already very clean clothes. So he was typical for them. Even at the present, this guy. But Christ, God is very intentional around everybody. Amen. He says in Jeremiah, that talks about the fact that I know the thoughts towards I have towards you. Right? Jeremiah what? 39 verse 11. Thank you. Jeremiah 39:11. He says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Hallelujah. So Christ is not looking for, it's not about people that are made only. Amen. And that's why I read the story of Nathanael. Nathanael was looking. He said in him there's no deceit. I mean, it was pious. But then Christ was missing. Hallelujah. If you are pious and there's no Christ, it's not looking. Amen. Your piety and Christ is fine. That's why you know. Some people grew up as church boys, they won't lie, they won't do anything. But there's no salvation. Because until you accept him, hallelujah, until you confess him, it's starting. Amen. So, and that's why it says it's not by works. So your being pious is like your works. Hallelujah. But that grace that has appeared to all men, you must have been to that grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes when the storms come, we are tempted to slow down. Hallelujah. Just like the swim Mr. Jerry was giving. When the troubles come, that's when it's well on this side of you. All your arsenal for attack. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I've told you before the story of the Gulf War and the story of the Patriot Missile. That during the Gulf War, I think that was 1991. Right, when Saddam invaded Kuwait and then the Allied forces led by the United States went to camp in Saudi Arabia or so, they put their base in Saudi Arabia Kuwait, Iraq invaded Kuwait and then they camped in Saudi Arabia so that they can take back Kuwait from Iraq. Okay? Now, the United States forces were in Saudi Arabia. Iraq was going to be sending bombs to Kuwait. The American war people, the soldiers, they didn't do anything. We were not just attacking Iraq. We will wait. When Iraq sends a bomb, Patriot missile will go. And then immediately, before the bomb gets used, Patriot missile will go immediately and detonate the bomb there. So for everything that they were throwing, Patriot missile will get up and go and then detonate the bomb. That's what I'm saying, that when the storms come, that's not the time when you should sleep. And that's not the time when you should make a U-turn. The United States Army were in the middle of nowhere. They were not in their comfort zone. They were in the place that they tried to make conflict for them, but it cannot be like that. But then they were that deliberate about making sure that for every attack, even if it's automated, some people come and say, yeah, if it's automated, nobody needs to manage it. It's a lie. There's no automation that nobody manages. Because everything is about settings. Have you? You see when Kelly says his corner, sometimes she's. Have you? But although it's automated, it has to, somebody must control it. Every person controlling it is not that. Every person controlling it is not at alert. Or has done the wrong calculation. There is nothing you will donate immediately for those patriot missiles. I know for a long time, everybody doubted that Iraq could actually attack Saudi Arabia because they looked at it and said, Iraq is using support missiles that they bought from Russia. When Iraq bought those support missiles from Russia, they used missiles to go walking with them. Now Iraq took it, to their lab. Which way could go with 1,000 kilometers. So all everybody knew was that the boats got missiles and they were laughing. And this thing only go 1 kilometer. How is it possible that they will attack a country that is more than 1 kilometer from there? Not knowing that they are gone and then they are increased the range. So the first time they launched that rocket and it landed close to Australia, but they are underrating these guys. Okay, it works. Anytime this thing is coming. Donate. See, all the praying that we do on a daily basis and all the work that we soak in on a daily basis, they are not for now. Hallelujah. Because your now, what you are experiencing now, is a result of what you did yesterday. Hallelujah. Whether in the spiritual or in the physical, whatever you are in now is as a result of the efforts you put in. Days that have come before now. Hallelujah. So whatever you see tomorrow is dependent on the things that you do today. Amen. When storms come, you have to rise like Christ did. It wasn't ruffled. Hallelujah. Say, what are you talking about? It was not ruffled. Because he was sleeping. And saying, it's Christ. He was 100% man and 100% God. Hallelujah. But he was in the same condition as those men. And he said, why do you have no faith at all? He knew where he was going. Okay? But then, the legion knew that he was coming. And he needed to stop his coming at all costs. Hallelujah. But you can't hold back Christ. Amen. You can't hold him back. Except he chooses. You know when he walked in the midst, when he wanted to take him to the cliff, right? And he wanted to throw him over the cliff. He walked past them because it was not their time. And then he was like, what's this is called? I mean, let me just go. He walked past them as though they were not there. And then when they came to pick him, the night before, when they came to pick him that night, when Judas, they took him away as though he was just a mere man. Amen. Because everything is about timing in God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Yeah. But no man is popular. No demon is popular. Amen. The things that you did on earth, you are for us to learn from. So that after he has gone and the Holy Spirit comes, we are able to produce those things that he has done. Amen. Comes to come in different ways. Hallelujah. What you should look at, and what you should also know, is that the storm did not respect the fact that Christ was in the boat. It did not respect the fact that it was Christ that was in the boat. Even though they knew that it was Christ that was in the boat. Hallelujah. When the devil went to tempt him, he knew that he was the Son of God. Okay? So what right people go and test him? Hallelujah. And he was not testing him. See, and that's why when people carry the Bible, I use it as talisman, I laugh. Amen. Because that's not his use. It's for you to have it on the inside of you. So that what Christ was referring to as more faith will not be what you will say to you when you have circumstances that you're just supposed to speak to and move on. Amen. Hallelujah. They are just in chapter 4, okay? In verse 40, he says, why are you so faithful? How is it that you have no faith? Number one, he does not expect that having gone through. See, he said in verse 35, he said, on that same day, in the evening, and if you read from verse 1 of chapter 4, they have been talking to them about different parables, and they have been working with him. Okay? So you have they had the audacity and the right to ask them, why are you so faithful? Because he expected that with time, we get to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's some people that, when you are working with them, you just know that this person is just equal to dangerous. Then let's try this. But over time, you are used to find that this is nice trying this because you know that you get results out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, why are you so fearful? And why, how is it that you have no faith? Meaning that when you entertain fear, at the point that you're entertaining fear, there is no faith. Amen. No response. There's no, he didn't promise us that there will be no response. Hallelujah. And he didn't promise that there will not be any flood. Amen. And neither did he say there will not be any enemy. All he says is that when he comes like a flood, he will raise his standard. When you are passing through his home, it is for you to understand that after that storm, it's the next level thing for you. Amen. Let me get what I'm saying. Beyond that storm, it's the next level for you. That's deliberate about him. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, we pray and things we ask for. It looks like, ah, this is my time, this is my turn. When we don't get it, sometimes we have to bow our head in despair. And we need to believe like, using that test, that was my, I said last time. I said to you, not trying to do it. That's the other question that is, we behave in as if, oh, what's God doing? Blah blah blah. Like it's not, we know how to so much they're leaving, then they go and then they are going unwillingly. Hallelujah. Denial doesn't mean it will not come to pass. Their denials come, or the discomes come to test your level of faith in God. Hallelujah. So ordinarily, what Christ was saying there was that they didn't need him to have been able to tell the wind how to count. Hallelujah. For him, he's a donkey. They're going to the other side. And he knows what to go to do on the other side. So if he says, come, let us go to the other side. He was the one that said, come, let us go to the other side. Hallelujah. Just like he was picking up Philip and said, follow me, and I will make you. Amen. Follow me, and I will make you. Come, let us go. Amen. Meaning that in your coming and let us go is with you. First, this is his command. Second, is with you. He says, come, go to the other side. Say, come, let us go to the other side. Now, he is the one that knows what he wants to go on the other side. Hallelujah. Amen. Yet, he's bidding them come because he needed to teach them the principle of life. That in life, when situations come, speak to situations and not bow or coin to situations. So in one simple journey through, and I said, look, the reason he went to the other side was to liberate the man with demons, hallelujah, and set that city free. Because once the guy with demon that was demon possessed began to speak, he began to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you remember when in the book of Acts, when they were at the gate beautiful, Peter at the gate beautiful. And then the 20 guy rise up and walk. And then people began to gather. What was Peter and God doing? He started taking point where they are, for how he was born, how he died, how they crucified him. Now, hallelujah, he resurrected, amen. And then, it's spreading the gospel. That's all you need. Just more witness. Amen. And people get liberated. Jairus met him, came to him and said, Master, come, I'm trying to see. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood saw him going to Jairus' house and said, if only I touch the hem of his garment. All these things, from the fact that they were entering the boat going to the other side, to the point where he got to Jairus' house, were a different display of how faith works in our lives. Hallelujah. And how it is absolutely impossible for you to box God in the way that you walk. Amen. What is your job? What do you do? You ask yourself, what is your job? What do you do? You run your pastor like that. I said it before. I said, when you are going to go to the gospel, or you are going to seek help from anybody, when you get there, and the person gives you a negative answer, the next thing you are going to do is start praying. Have you? That's what we do now. When you are so certain, I say, good, good, again. Many people teach me how to seek better than this one. Be sharp. And then you say, I don't have your time. That's what you should have done first. Hallelujah. That's where life starts from. Forget, see, all these people are deceiving everybody and see, and they don't believe in God, blah, blah, blah. They know that there's a power behind every man. So you know, and God is going to be that partial about you when you're always approaching in faith. Now, it's not saying that when things happen, that's when you should go to him. He's saying that the things that I've taught you and you have grown, and you have grown with me, even though you are not yet at the pinnacle of your growth, they are enough to break these barriers and these storms so that you get to where you are going. Amen. So your next level, there's going to be a storm. Take it to your next level. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know what a storm is. A very simple thing. But it's something that's going to test your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's something that's going to test how you use that faith command that you have. Amen. I told you, someone approached me and said, people say prayers. They say that, God, whenever they're taking a decision about me, God should us. I don't say that prayer. I don't. But it's not a bad prayer. That whenever they're taking about me or you. I mean, person just telling you that I now understand when they say whenever people are taking this one about me, God must be there to raise up people to answer this prayer. Yeah, I don't say that prayer, but I don't know how to see it. My values are different. But what I know is that the boy Jesus, he grew, he started wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Hallelujah. So the God part comes first, and the source of the man part. Amen. So when people are making decisions, those are times of storm. Hallelujah. When you stand firm in faith, you know, when things are happening, there's a way God does things, and he just brings it to you that says, at this point, pray. Or he brings his scripture to you, just like everyone was saying, and then you take nothing. If anything from the scripture comes to your mind or to your spirit, it can't be the devil. If you are thinking, don't waste your time, it cannot be the devil. It has to be the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Because I know you talk about the devil, you know. And the angel, you don't know. The angel, you don't know. But there's no comparison between the angel, you don't know. And the devil will go. Because their names have set them on two different sides of the divide. And one will always do good. Hallelujah. And the other will always deceive. study the Bible. Study the Bible, follow the Bible. That's when you're walking with that. And if you have said it was everything for us to read and read and read. You don't read it for reading sake. Because we don't watch it, we come at it. We be like, wow. Amen. So many decisions have been taken about you. And you don't know. God will raise his hand for you. Hallelujah. Because the things you do today, they are meant for tomorrow. So we went something that happened and said, my God, let your grace have laughed at you. Amen. Because if I want to run now, and I go and eat now, I cannot run with the energy of the food I eat now. It takes about 4 hours for you to digest. If you do eat too much, if you eat normal, 4 hours. If you eat abnormal, you go on more than 4 hours. And then, so for you to be absorbed into your body, to come in out, it's different. That's why they tell you to take a soup or something. If you eat it, and if you eat banana chapter, therefore, what's with it? But if you want to eat now, something you eat now, it's not that energy in your body. Hallelujah. Don't let the time that you spend in the presence of God when you want to touch. The time that you spend in your closet when you dig deep in the world. Don't let it appear wasted. Just like this one that you have. Amen. God is not strong to test those things that you have. As it's not God, God's sake. There's no position. Whether you are in the world, there is government. There's nothing to come and test. Hallelujah. That's why when after there was a time we went on fasting, we finished fasting, and somebody entered the house and let the food on the table. And what they used to do fasting. And now I want to let all the elders go to it. And you remember when he met Gaga. And then I was like, that's a spiritual exercise. You know, when man is hungry, he's at his lowest table. But be careful when you're at your lowest table. Don't you see different things I also see? And do you want to abuse? You abuse me. When I go to contain the depth of abuse. I have to come and I said, don't listen to me. So that when, there's no good idea. But all of us, when you just pack all together, I started everything. I just come and I just be hearing, I'll tell you, somebody has eaten this one's food as this one. So how is she going to continue? You know, there's no big fast as this one. It's that sister that started the trouble. So what has happened? Don't let those times. And simple times, and they are meant for you. Things you give in your closet are not meant for that for your body. There are some you use for that time, and there are some that you use when it's not wrong. Amen. Right. As Christ was intentional about that young man and about that city, is that intentional about you getting you into boat and saying, let us go? One is receiving salvation. The other ones are being taught life principles on how to weather the storm and walk in this life. You say you are not going to walk alone. Let your walk be Christ. Let your walk be Christ. Hallelujah. That's when your Moses comes. Not that you will not see them. You will come and you will pass and be like what now. There will be times that the children will fall in mind 10, 15 years ago. My boss told me, you know, where you are, they can't see you. They can't see you. They need to see you. So you need to go to the other side. And, don't worry, when the time comes, I will cook. I don't need to do what you call it, eye service for anybody. I don't need it. And because you knew that some people said, come and work with me, I didn't come to you. It was some people that said, hey, need to work with him. Hallelujah. You know, interviews are not based on the performance. By the child of God, it's not based on the performance. Amen. Not. All the interviews I've done, they are not based on my performance. In fact, there was one that I got there, and I just couldn't remember the answer to the question. And the person asked me a question, I was looking at me, and I was looking at me like, guy, you know this thing? I couldn't say anything. I went dry. I said, oh, you don't need this thing. I just went back. And then they called me. What's in my power plant performance? I'm not paying attention. Put you on a pedestal. For next level pedestal. Because the time I was going to study and doing all manner of things like that. Then the captain said, where you are, how do you live? And then I repented. Like, I have this one, I have this one, I have this one, and I'm over here. I was mapping it out. So come, follow me. Follow him and not miss it. Hallelujah. You cannot follow him one day. Hallelujah. It has to be a progression. But the Lord will take to pick up on the way. But at the point, you will expect and be the one discharge the commands. Because there, you give you that comfort. Amen. The Holy Spirit will come. It says, Jesus Christ was anointed and was the Holy Spirit and the power. And he went about doing. And he sent that same Holy Spirit to you and I. He said, you need to remember everything I've taught you. What have you learned from him? What are you learning now? What you are learning now? Because you see, all the mathematics I learned when I was in school, I'm not using them. It's now that I'm using them. Hallelujah. All the ones I learned when I am is now. After 20 years of living school, it's now that I'm using them. It's interesting. So that I said that. So this is why I learned this. So that because you don't have this kind of day will come. And then I put on my voice and says, it's not this one. Same way, the word of God. Same thing with the word of God. Well, that's why we can say read and read and read. And the Bible, every day you study the Bible, you find something new. Even from this story, next time you go to the same story, you find something new. No, I just asked. So I just asked myself, why were they going to the other side? Until I read that 1:5. And when you finish the demon possession, you went back to where you came from. God will set you out. And when he searches you out, he expects you to respond. Hallelujah. And when you respond, you need to see. You need to bear fruit. Don't make us strong. Nobody wants to pass us. Nobody wants to be strong. If there's no exam, how do you know that you have studied? When they give the exam question, that's when you know whether you're doing it or not. Then, when you see the exam question, you need to break out the sweat. Know that there's a problem. I mean, this is our writing exam. If you say that, I saw this question, fools. That's when you know whether you're doing it or not. Hallelujah. There's no problem with your freeze. You won't freeze. And you move on. Yeah, that's the way life is. That's why they say that when you fall, rise. But it's not even about falling, it's about going through. Or stopping the things around you and moving on. Then rise up. Let the people around you be able to say or be true to that you rise. They're not like lazy people that call on God. I will not have any responsibility in the scheme of things. responsibility is to make sure the things that he has taught us, we learn at this table. Beyond this home, God wants to do mighty things. Beyond this home, God wants to take you to the next level. Just thank him that you are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, but indeed the word of God that you have read, the word that will be Bible in the enemies, when the time comes, we are able to bring it forth, we produce it with joy. And you do not bow to fear, and that you not display faith when it is the dead most. Give him all the praise and glory. Father, we thank you. I am fine. Jesus' name. Amen.